Well, good evening. Let me get this mic on here. He's going to turn it on here in just a second. Yeah. Turn your Bibles to John, Book of John, Gospel of John. All right, Book of John, John chapter 13. Let me get turned there. All right, why don't we open up with prayer and then I'll begin here. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your house, again, with your people and with your book. And we thank you, Father, that it's your words that you've given to us that we can read, that we can learn, that you can teach us to know the way that you want us to go and how to walk and how to behave in this life, Lord Father, and salvation, Lord, most importantly. You teach us that it's not us, it's not our works, but it's the work of your Son. It's through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son that one can be saved. And we thank you for that, that we have salvation through your Son. I pray, Lord Father, that you forgive me and forgive all of us, Lord Father, where we failed you, Lord Father. Help us to be of use tonight, Lord, to understand your word, apply it to our lives, Lord Father. And I pray, Father, that there's someone in here that may be struggling with salvation. They do not yet know you as their Savior. I pray that they would make a profession tonight before they take their last breath, whenever that is. And Lord, we thank you for the soul that was saved at camp. And we pray, Father, that you continue to be with them out there and be with the services out going on at the same time as they are here. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for all you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. So the thought tonight is it's kind of like a two-pronged step, two messages into one. Well, I probably just drank somebody's old water, huh? I don't know. Well, I got even fresher water now. Fresher water. There we go. I'm really getting treated tonight. Yeah. The thought tonight is when the excitement of following Christ wears off. When the excitement of following Christ wears off. And so just keep that in thoughts. I'll share some things. And real quick, this week has been like life and death is what my experience has been this week. It's what do I mean by that? Well, the life part, I have a coworker who just started a couple months ago where I work at the VA, and somehow in conversation, our church got up in discussion, somehow camp got up in discussion, I don't even remember exactly. Well, she has a 14-year-old son. She said, I want to sign my son up for camp. And he came to camp, and he got saved. So there's the life part. He's got life eternal now, right? He made a profession of faith. On the flip side, I have another coworker who just passed away this morning. She'd been battling cancer. She'd been traveling the country. She stopped working back in November. So it's like this, you know, real high, real low. You know, it's like, oh, man. So, but those are real things, you know, that it's a reminder that this life, we're frail. And so as we're serving the Lord, we're going to talk about when the excitement of following Christ wears off. So let's look at John 13, verse 36. It says this, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, or that means truly, truly, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now, Peter here, as a young disciple, relatively new to following the Lord, he's excited, right? And here we see he makes a statement, a worthy one, one with great cause, but one in which he stated when there was no opposition. You know, it's easy to make statements like that when nobody's opposing you, right? When you first join a ministry, it's exciting. When you first get saved, it's exciting. No doubt you're full of joy, and you got these thoughts and this wonder of what's to come. You know, nothing bad is ever going to happen. I'm saved now, right? Almost naive thoughts, right? Of nothing bad will happen. Don't get me wrong, high expectations. I'm not knocking those. You should have high expectations. Those are good. Positive thoughts are good. Nobody wants to remain in the negative the whole time. Desires to stand to the end and serve the Lord all the way to the end. Those are good. But we all must be prepared for when the shininess wears off, right? When the excitement deflates. Maybe when opposition comes. We need to be prepared for that. I found out another thing. The Lord's been teaching me a lot through work lately. I used to think as long as I show up to work faithfully, I keep a good testimony at work, if I just do my job to the fullest, if I do a good job, the Lord will bless me and the Lord will just fight all my battles, right? It'll just work. Well, I found out that the evil exists in this world. I don't know, maybe I was naive in my thinking, but I found out you can do all the right things and still get in trouble for doing nothing. What is that? That's the devil. It's evil people and high powers and places. All it takes is somebody, an accusation. I've watched a coworker get accused of something. It is not true, but yet it's affecting their career dramatically. And I realized for the first time, that could be me. I could do everything right, and the Lord may want me to go through a trial on purpose. And so I had a humbling thought as I served the Lord that, well, look at Jeremiah. Look at some of these prophets of old. There were some times it's not so exciting to serve the Lord. Maybe not so pleasant. There were some tough things. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. But God had them go through some stuff, right? Think about that. When the excitement of following the Lord wears off, just think about it. Where will you be? Will you stop serving? Some things to consider. Turn over now to John chapter 18, verse 1. We'll read some more. Now let's read in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Look what happened here. Opposition arrived, right? And we all have heard this account. Opposition has come to seek the Lord, seeking to betray him. And so as we are followers of Christ, we shouldn't expect any less. Opposition will come. We see Peter's initial response. He stands and fights, right? Then Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it and he smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But then later we see somehow he loses that fight. That zeal kind of fades away. What happens? By verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. That's one denial. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. When you deny the Lord, you know what you're doing? you're putting cold water on that relationship with the Lord. You're just cooling that relationship off every time you deny the Lord. Now look over to verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. There's the second time, right? And then look at verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. What happened? It sure looks like Peter was not prepared to follow the Lord when there was opposition or when it got hot enough, right? There was nothing exciting about following the Lord when you're physically watching him get abused in front of you. That's not exciting. That's heart-wrenching. He watched the man he'd been following just getting pummeled. Not so exciting to follow the Lord anymore. Lord, what are you doing? I thought things were supposed to always be good. You know, we're doing right. You know, he's watching his Lord just get hit. You know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to wear the shininess off of your salvation. Please don't go that way. I'm trying to get you to understand things are not always going to be pleasant. Follow the Lord. There's going to be some rough times. Opposition may arise. You might get falsely accused of something. God may be bringing you through a trial out of nowhere. No sin involved on your part, but to show others Christ through you, through how you respond to it. You just don't know. The excitement might wear off a little. No doubt we all get tired sometimes, right? No doubt the excitement wears off, but just because it does that mean we quit, right? Do we then go seek another ministry? Oh, this is not so much fun anymore. I want to go to something that's fun. That's fine if the Lord's leading you, but you don't just quit a ministry because it's not fun anymore. Peter failed at this point, right? He denied the Lord three times. But if you read this whole story, you read the whole story further, he didn't stay down. He didn't stay in the bottom. He didn't stay in that state of denial of the Lord. Later, we learn that he learned from his mistake. I'm paraphrasing a lot here. He then strengthened himself in the Lord. And we know he went out to be one of the greatest disciples this world has ever seen. He did do eventually as he said he would. He gave his life. He did do what he originally said he would do. He wasn't prepared then, but eventually he did. He laid down his life for the Lord. This message is not meant to discourage you, but I want it to encourage you, rather than to strengthen yourself, prepare yourself now. If you're not facing an opposition right now, be prepared. There's one coming, whether it's a sin, trial, whether it's God just wants to test you. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's around that corner. And so when those trials come, we need to be ready to rise above. Okay. I'm going to transition just a little bit. This next portion goes right along with what I'm talking about. I'm going to ask a question to you all. Who in here, and just raise your hand, who in here likes to win races? Who likes to win competitions, right? Who likes to win games?
We all do. That's fun. That's the exciting part, right? Yeah, I won, you know. You lost, you know. It's fun, you know. You're like, I'm the winner, right? We like to be the winner. The Lord likens our life to a race in Scripture. He likens our life to a race in Scripture. Let me see if I got it written down here. Is it 1 Corinthians 9? I think he mentions that. Let me make sure here before I quote you the whole thing. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 9. Right here. 24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it. Let me read that again. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I used to run cross country and track. I didn't win every race. I won a few. Boy, that felt good, right? To win a few races. But I wanted to win all of them. My desire was to win every single one that I entered. I wanted to win. I wanted to be the best I could be, right? In competitions, we can relate to that. Well, now, spiritualize that. Richard, by application, your life, your walk with the Lord. Let's try to win this race that the Lord gives you, right? In order to get better at my cross country and track, I had to practice. I had to train. I had to run hills. We even did some sprints. We would vary our distances, right? Woods, road races, whatever to strengthen and condition our body. How are we going to get our spiritual race? How are we going to get ready for our spiritual race? The Bible compares our life to running this race. And it says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So in order to win this race, you have to first enter it if you're not in there. You're in a race whether you knew it or not. If you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, if you entered the race then. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you entered the race of serving the Lord. You entered the race of living for the Lord. How are you going to run that thing? Are you going to run to God, or are you going to run away from Him when trials come? Are you going to run away from God because your friends and family are running the opposite way? God has given you life, and He lets you make decisions in this life. He lets you decide if you want to love Him. He lets you decide if you want to serve Him. He lets you even decide what kind of life you want to live. Well, He gives you liberty, lots of it. Excuse me. He lets you run the race of life how you want to run it. And you see, what I'm trying to point out is everyone has a race. Butch, you have your own race. You and Seiko have a totally different race than what I have. Your life is different. And that's good. God set it up that way. Everybody has their own race to run. If I were to try to run Butch's race, I would lose my own race that God set before me. I can't run His race. He has to run His own. John has to run his own. Some of you in here might have came from broken homes. I don't know what it was like to grow up in your home. Maybe you didn't know who God was growing up. I did. I knew God as just some good supreme being where my dog went when it died. That was all I knew of God as a little kid. Nothing bad was ever mentioned of God. I was thankful for that. I didn't get saved till I was in my 20s. Some of you maybe grew up in grandparents. Some of you, maybe you're poor. Maybe you're still poor. Everyone has different life, right? And at times we, and I've been here, man, life is not fair. And I have to do a reality check. Duh, it's not. It really isn't. In reality, life is not fair. We all are not running the same race. We all don't make the same amount of money. We all don't have the same jobs. They're so diverse. But we all have races. Everyone's is different. You have to choose to get in your race and run your race. You have to seek for that prize that you can win for running your race, which is your life. That's the race. I'm talking about your life. You know, Adam and Eve, the first two people on earth, they were created and they lived in a perfect environment. Nothing was wrong. Everything was right around them. There was nothing wrong around them. They had the best of everything, if you think about it. God told them, all right, I've got this environment for you. No, go run your race. I've given you a race to run, but I'm going to give you some rules. Don't touch this. Whatever you do, don't touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just don't do that and you'll be all right. All they had to do was obey God. Guess what? They chose to do wrong. They disobeyed God. When they disobeyed God, that was sin. When they disobeyed God, sin entered the human race, right? Sin then was passed down to generation to generation to you and I today. We're a bunch of sinners because they disobeyed. You know, they lived in a perfect environment, yet they still chose to sin. So that teaches us right there. It's not the environment. It may influence us, but you still have a choice. You still have to consciously choose to do that sin, or you have to consciously choose to obey God. No one makes you do either. Where you live does not matter in the sense of how you choose to disobey or obey God. You can choose to rise above, as I was trying to say, your circumstance, your condition, the trial, whatever's going on, the bad that you're experiencing, or you can let it control you. God says, you run the race. I've given you the race. How do you want to run it? Do you want to run it to lose it? Why would we want to? Nobody likes to lose. Let's run to get that prize. Let's run to run that race to the fullest, to the best we can. I want to run to win the prize. I want to run my race the best I can. You know what I found out as I run my race, you know, my life? I'm learning that I need a whole lot of help to run my race. I can't do this alone. I struggle with sin just like anyone else. I'm thankful for church, like here. For you all. Well, you strengthen me to have you around me. You help me when I'm weak, whether you realize it or not. Hey, brother, how you doing? That might have been just enough I needed to get out of my... Today was a horrible day at work. I'm telling you, it was bad. It was just one of those days, Butch, man. I was just, I can't wait to get out of here. It was just one of those days, you know. And then you come to church and you're like, I survived. You know, I'm here. You know, Yeah, church it's necessary. It's good for us. It helps us. It strengthens us, right? We can get nourishment from the Word and encouragement from other believers. You know, the Bible says we're a bunch of sinners. For all of sin, it comes short of the glory of God. You know, sin in our life weakens us. We cannot run the race if we're full of sin. We can try, but we're going to have to work a whole lot harder. If we have a whole bunch of sin on us, and we're, you know, got all this weight on us, you know, man, we got to shed some of that stuff so we can get limber and run, so we can run that race. You know, sin weighs us down. A part of running a race is understanding we have weaknesses. For me, one of my weaknesses in cross country, my coach, it took several years to break me of it, but I had a tendency to start off too slow. And then I had all this energy at the end. And so, I, like the last third of the race, I felt, that's when I felt the best, you know. you know, when it should have been the opposite. I should have been just about ready to collapse. So he would force me to sprint in the beginning. I didn't want to do that. I didn't like doing that. I'm not a sprinter. I don't like sprinting. And so anyway, so he had to convince me to go out faster. And next, you know, my times were getting faster and faster and faster. So I had to learn a weakness of mine. You know, I had to start working on that, correcting that. Just like sin. You know, oh, this is a weak area in my life. This is weighing me down. Lord, help me. Once you identify it, you know, give that to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. I need help with this. You might have to reach out to somebody and say, you know, how do you deal with this? What have you done to help with this? Maybe seek some coaching. Pastor. Word of God. Get rid of that sin. We're a bunch of sinners. We got to realize, you know, sin affects our race. Reach out to the one that can help you. Jesus died for your sin. You know, just because he died on the cross for you and you got your salvation, you know what I think we do many times? As believers, we're like, yep, I'm saved. But then we stop reaching out for his help. We're like, we know we have to go to him to get saved. So we get saved. And then it's like, okay, I got the rest of this, Lord. I'm gonna take care of this. And we just leave him. We're like, we don't go back to him for help. He's there for our whole life. He's there to be our coach the whole way. Yeah, keep going, Sean. Yeah. Oh, yeah, get rid of that. We don't need that. Yeah, we need to get rid of that so you can run. And he's right there. We fail so many times to reach out towards him. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, what did he do? He died for us. Christ died for us. Jesus died for my sins, for your sins. He didn't just stay dead. Boy, he's one of those rise above kind of guys. He just, I'm over this. I got it. I'm the God man, Jesus said. He could take that sin of ours and he could do with it what you and I can't do with it. Boy, he can wipe it clean. He can pay for that sin. And he did. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, conquering sin and the grave. If he didn't do that, he'd be just like one of us. But he was different. So you're running this race. You got to first realize you're a sinner. I got to get rid of some of this sin. How do I get rid of the sin? You got to go to Jesus. You got to go to the one that can pay for that sin. You got to give him your sins. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you from yourself. Or what's the outcome if you don't? Well, you're going to try to run the race in your own strength. You're going to burn out. You're going to tire. And you may quit. And you may end up running to the wrong finish line. Think about that. Two finish lines. Heaven or hell. If you don't have Christ, guess what? You're going to go to hell. You're going to run right into the gates of hell. And you're like, whoa, what happened? I thought I was running my race. You ran the wrong way. You missed the turn. Jesus is over here holding the sign. This way. Walk this way. We went our own way. Got to get Christ. You got to go. You need him to coach you to the right direction. You must receive Jesus as your Savior if you want to go to heaven. If you want to finish the race in heaven. In order to properly deal with sin, you got to go to Jesus. In order to properly run the race, you got to go to Jesus. In order to finish the race he set before you, you got to go to Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Jesus Christ paid for our sins. We can have eternal life. Tommy, my co-worker's son. Man, I'm so excited about that. It's just a neat how the Lord orchestrated that. I've asked many times, Lord, why do you have me in this place? I mean, it is a stressful place to work sometimes where I'm at. You're dealing with people with addictions, and it weighs on you. You know, they're a very needy population, and they, I want. It's almost like children, and I'm not trying to belittle them. I'm just telling you, it's very tiring. I work in a homeless veterans program. These guys come from the prison. They come, some of them right out of prison, right into the program. All walks of life, all different diversities, ages, And I mean, in the middle of winter, one time I remember, as soon as I got out of my car, I'm reaching out, getting something out of my bag. I haven't even got into the building yet. And out of the shadows, here comes one of the veterans. Hey, when are you going to get me my, immediately, scared me half to death, you know. It's on. The second you pull in that parking lot, you got to be ready. Because they're right, they live there. That's their home. And as soon as they see you, you're available to them. I want this, I need this, I need this, I need help. Well, quite frankly, they do need a lot of help. Most important help is what Ryan's there for. We've got a Bible study going on in there. Some guys are getting saved, and that's important. They need Christ. They've been running a race, and a hard one too, boy. Hard one. They've been beat up along that race. We need Christ. We all need Christ. We need to admit we're a sinner. Start working on this sin. Give that to God. Let Him deal with it. Once you're saved, still give your sin over to Him. Say, Lord, I need help. How do I deal with this sin? This thing's a besetting sin. It's hindering my race. I'm tiring too fast. How do I get rid of this sin? Again, this life is like a race. What kind of race do you want to run? You want to run the best one, I think. You know, nobody would like to say, well, I want to run to lose it. Nobody. Well, if you are thinking that, well, you need to change that thinking. That's wrong thinking. You want to run to win the race. To finish strong, right? To finish in heaven if you're not saved. You need to get saved. You need to realize that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He paid for all of our sin, all of mankind. And He died and rose again. He was the perfection that the Lord was looking for. He knew no sin. So He paid for that sin that you and I have. And now those of us can receive Jesus Christ. If we believe that He did that for us, we can be saved through His Son. And He'll help us run our race. Boy, I hope that was a blessing to you. Hopefully it made sense. I had all these thoughts in my head. But what kind of race do you want to run? Let's run to finish it, even when the excitement wears off, even when the opposition starts bubbling up. Just remember, we're in a race. There's some hard times. I liked to power up the hills. That's when I would run cross country. That was kind of my strength. So remember, what's your strengths, what's your weaknesses? Well, one of my strengths was, well, if I can just get up this hill, I can psych a couple people out thinking I'm better than I really am. I'll break them this way mentally, and I'll get to the top, and I'm dying on top of that hill. But, boy, they think I'm this great runner, you know. And so I leave them in the dust, and then I kind of coast down the hill. Tactics, right? Learn those tactics that will help you get along, get through the race. There's going to be some rough spots. There's going to be some real rough spots. You plow through them in the Lord's strength, in the Lord's strength. Where did Brother Jordan go? Is he up there? Brother, if you would close, if you come up and close this, I'm going to end that there and turn it over to Brother Jordan.